Open your Bibles to Titus chapter 1, verse 12. Titus 1, 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." Now, this is the kind of a passage that requires a great deal of concentration. This is one of those rare quotations from one of the most famous poets of the ancient world in the field of hexameter. His name is Epimenides. And this is part of a line quoted by Callimachus in his hymn to Zeus. Epimenides was one of the greatest of all hexameter poets. Hexameter, H-E-X-A-M-E-T-E-R. Now, a hexameter, which means 6 meters. And hexameter, actually, is a type of poetry that is much greater than anything we've ever had in the English language. A hexameter line in Greek poetry means 6 metrical feet or 6 dipodes. Before I get to these, I better find a place here to put dipodes. D-I-P-O-D-I-E-S. And this is quoted from Epimenides. And this is 1 hexameter line of poetry quoted. And God the Holy Spirit has seen fit to quote it for a reason. This is the way the line reads. First dipity, Krates I. That's the first dipity. K-R-E-T-E-S. A-E-I. The second dipity is Sustai, P-S-E-U-S-T-A-I. Krates I, Sustai. The third dipity is Kaka, K-A-K-A. The fourth dipity is Theria. The fifth dipity is Gasteres, G-A-S-T-E-R-E-S. The fourth dipity is Argai. Now, I've mentioned dipity 6 times. What is a dipity? It's a metrical foot. A hexameter verse can have different kinds of dipities. For example, a dipity in hexameter poetry, the first four dipities are dactyls or spondees. This is, of course, very simple. The fifth is a dactyl, and the last is a trochee. Now you understand hexameter verse, don't you? All right, let's start out by taking... Now, this is actually the phrase that says in verse 12, "The Cretans, always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." That's a quotation from Epimenides. And it is composed of 6 dipities. Each dipity is formed by syllables. For example, the first dipity, Krates I. Cretans always, not the Cretans, but Cretans always. And this is a dactyl, D-A-C-T-Y-L. What is a dactyl? 1 long, 2 short. 1 long, 2 short. Krates I. Cretans always, the long, krates, cray, that's long, right here, cray, tase is short, I is short, krates, I, that's a dactyl. How'd you like to write poetry this way? This man was a genius, of course. We're making him look simple, but he really wasn't. The second dipity is a spondee. S-P-O-N-D-E-E, spondee. A spondee is too long. Sousti. Sousti means liars. Krates, I, sousti. See, it even rhymes. The first two dipities rhyme. But more than that, they have a definite type meter or rhythm. First, a dactyl, one long, two short. Cretans, always, or Cretans forever. Sousti, liars. Don't ever go out with a Crete, ladies. He's always a liar. The third dipity is also a spondee. And again, a spondee, too long. Ka, ka. And that means evil. Now notice that the third and fourth dipities rhyme. Ka, ka, theria. And so the fourth dipity is also a spondee. Theria, too long. Theria means beasts. Then the fifth dipity is again a dactyl, one long and two short. One long, two short. Gasteres. Gast is long. Teres, too short. And then they always end on a high note. Gasteres, by the way, is where we get gastric. That's stomach. And then they always end on a very high note, on a trochee. One long and one short. So here's a trochee. One long, one short. Our guy. Gasteres, our guy, the last two deputies. Krates, I, sousti, kaka, theriai, gasteres, our guy. That's one of the most famous lines of hexameter verse. It is quoted to express a principle. Now let's be sure we have it as it stands in the Greek. All right, it's hexameter. Question. Argai, I'm going to get to that in the trochee, that's the last one. But as far as your English is concerned, it lines up with the word slow. I'll analyze it a little bit later. I want to be sure you have the genius of hexameter verse. Now, you take, for example, Euripides. Euripides was a genius. He wrote whole three-act tragedies in hexameter verse. Thousands of lines of hexameter and pentameter. And I used to have to translate and explain. And an exam, I would write for 4.5 or 5 hours explaining hexameter and pentameter verse. And not only that, not only being able to analyze it this way, but explain the flow of thought. You see, they even lined their thoughts up with this. These people were genius. And the hardest course I ever took in college was Sophocles, Aeschylus, and Euripides, the Greek tragedians. Thousands and thousands and thousands of lines of this kind. One of them, I can still remember the translation. What hast thou done, O Helen, blind of brain? O face that slew the soul on Ilion's plain. One face, and many thousand slain. Four hexameters. Boy, in the Greek, they're really tough. But this, and people say, well, now, where did you get that from the Greek? Well, after you've studied thousands of lines of hexameter, let me tell you, the New Testament even looks easy. This is the most difficult of all types of Greek. And it's very rare to get something like this. And when God the Holy Spirit sees fit to preserve a line of this type, then we should understand it as far as the word is concerned. Now, once again, this is hexameter verse. The first dipity, or measure, is a dactyle, one long and two short. Krates I. Kre is long, tes is short, I is short. I is always krates, kretes. The second dipity is sustai. It's a spondee, too long. Sustai. The third dipity, or measure, is a spondee, two longs. Ka, ka. The fourth is a spondee, the, ria, too long. The fifth is a dactyle, one long, two short. Gos, that's the long, ter, res. And then finally we end with a trochee, one long and one short. R, guy. R is the long, guy is the short. All right, do you have the verse now as far as its structure? This doesn't give us its meaning. This shows you something of the genius of the Greeks. Now, verse 12, one of themselves, a prophet of their own. The word prophet also means in the Greek a poet. And this is a reference to Epimeniades. He was a native of Gnosus on the island of Crete. He was accepted as a prophet or a poet by the Cretans, and he was very famous. He has been made famous by two great Latin writers, Cicero and Apuleius. Cicero, or Cicero, is famous for his orations against the Carthaginians. Apuleius is famous for giving us so much information about the Roman Empire in that great book called The Golden Ass. One of themselves, a poet of their own, said, this is an aorist active indicative of Lego, and Lego now introduces the hexameter verse which we have just analyzed. Now, the hexameter line gives us a threefold description of the Cretans. First of all, always liars. Krates I sustai. That's the first half of the hexameter. And Cretans, it's wrong, of course, in your English. It is not the Cretans. It is simply Cretans, always liars. There is no verb here at all. All right, let's analyze under 8 points the phrase Cretans, always liars. First of all, this first half of the hexameter indicates that every nation has what could be classified as national weaknesses. And the first thing we learn then, there is no such thing as a super race. The Cretans were made up of Greeks and several other races. They are a national entity. There is no such thing as a super race. The national weakness of the Cretans, they were the most famous liars of the ancient world. Point two. There is in the Attic Greek, classical Greek, a verb that looks like this. Kretizo. K-R-E-T-I-Z-O. And kretizo means to lie like a Cretan. To speak Cretan fashion, which means to lie. The national weakness of the Cretans, they are liars, which complicates their insubordination, of course. Point three. The Attic Greek also has a noun that looks like this. Kretismos. K-R-E-T-I-S-M-O-S. Kretismos. Kretismos means to behave like a Cretan. And to behave like a Cretan means to do one of three things. To lie, to behave like an animal, or to be a glutton. Point four. The system of lying by the Cretans came from mental attitude sins. And therefore the Cretans were generally in every generation developed a large number of Category 1 emotional revolts. Mental attitude sins. This helps to explain why Cretan Christians, there are thousands of Christians on the island of Crete, but they won't take in doctrine. They're always insubordinate. Why? Because they are under Category 1 emotional revolt. Here is the emotion of the soul. Mental attitude sins back up into the emotion. The emotion is a responder. The emotion has no character, no discernment, no common sense, no doctrine, no ability to think. The emotion is a responder. The emotion is the right woman of the soul. The right man of the soul is the heart or the right lobe with its frame of reference, memory center, norms and standards, and viewpoint. Under emotional revolt, mental attitude sins back up into the emotion, and therefore the emotion revolts against the right man, against the authority of the soul, and doctrine is cut off. That's what's wrong with the Cretans, and that's what we learn from the first line of this hexameter verse. And that's what's wrong with Christianity today in the United States. Emotional revolt of the soul. That's why so many people have become suckers and gone for the tongues movement. Emotional revolt of the soul. That's why there are victorious life conferences all over the United States, which are full of Mickey Mouse activities. Emotional revolt of the soul. That's why people are running around saying, be careful, you might learn too much doctrine. What you need to do is get out and witness. What you need to do is get out and do this and that and the other thing. Emotional revolt of the soul. We are in the same boat with the Cretans today. It is true in our seminaries. Can you imagine Dallas Seminary homiletics teaching the big idea? Don't exegete a passage. Just look for one idea. Start with an illustration from Time magazine. Give the big idea and end with a glowing illustration. That would cause Dr. Chafer to flip-flop in his grave. Dr. L.S. Chafer, who founded Dallas Seminary, founded it for the purpose of taking up the slack where he was handicapped. Dr. Chafer was the assistant to Dr. Schofield, and C.I. Schofield and L.S. Chafer did not know one line of Greek or Hebrew. And therefore, Dr. Schofield used to say to Chafer, Louis, find a seminary that will emphasize the languages. And he developed one for the purpose of teaching Greek and Hebrew. And Dallas Seminary is phasing back its Greek and its Hebrew and losing its whole purpose and uniqueness right now. and it reflects itself in where apostasy begins. The man who teaches homiletics is a Madison Avenue type. Human viewpoint, human gimmicks. And they've even tried to flunk Barack Amen, who will teach verse by verse and line by line, just as you're getting right now. That seminary is falling apart. Still the best, but it's falling apart. They still teach Hebrew there, and that's something. At least you can get a few years of Hebrew. And the Greek department is a little weak, but it's still there, and you can learn Greek and Hebrew. Some of the theology is good, and some of the theology stinks. But that is a tragic day. Dave, get that guy that wandered out of here and tell him to leave the conference. You catch him in the hall out there. Thank you. Now, we're in bad shape when a place like Dallas Seminary can't do any better than that. Dr. Chafer used to emphasize the languages, the languages, the languages. The students, so many of them, are lazy and stupid. Want to ease through. And so they would complain about having to take 3 or 4 years of Hebrew, and Dr. Chafer would always stand pat. He wouldn't let them squeak out from under. And he stuck to it. And there were 4 years of Greek and 3 years of Hebrew and 4 years of Greek and 3 years of Hebrew, and that's a mere start. Now they've cut back on the languages. What a tragedy. And so what are you going to get in the future from places like Dallas Seminary? You're going to get gimmick men, charlatans, people who cannot analyze and teach Bible doctrine verse by verse and line by line. And that is a tragedy. Now, the principle that is set up here is the fact that when you have emotional revolt of the soul, people do not want doctrine. They want entertainment. They want gimmicks. They want programs. They want lonely hearts. They want to feel wanted. And Bible doctrine is de-emphasized. And that's the problem. Pardon? Marty Cameron. Dave? They need you, or Marty, they need you back there. Report to Dave. Emotional revolt of the soul is the problem. And that's the thing that has destroyed this country. Fundamentalist Christianity today is a farce. There is no such thing as fundamentalism anymore. Fundamentalism means the fundamentals of Bible doctrine. Fundamentalism means exegesis and eisegogics and categories, and there is very little of it left. And many of you can attest to that because many of you get your doctrine from a tape recorder. You get canned doctrine because you can't get it live and hot. And that's a tragedy, isn't it? That in your area there isn't someone teaching exegetically and eisegogically. And it's going to get worse, not better. Because Dallas Seminary is the best and the index, and as Dallas Seminary goes down, the rest are going down, and there is nothing to replace Dallas Seminary at this time. And that's a tragedy. That is a tragedy. You can't even begin to imagine the repercussions of that. When I graduated from Dallas Seminary, 75% of the class sold their Hebrew lexicons immediately. They said, we'll never look at Hebrew again. Some of them got rid of their Greek books. 50% of the class got rid of their Greek books, and that was bad enough. I think probably now it's up to 90 or 95%. What a tragedy. But then, where's the demand? Emotional revolt of the soul resents doctrine, rejects doctrine. And that's the tragedy. So the first half of this hexameter is a warning. Cretans, always liars. Titus, They're an emotional revolt of the soul. Point four again, the system of lies is developed from mental attitude sins, jealousy, vindictiveness, bitterness, implacability. Point five, another system of lies is to develop approbation lust. And so we have a category two emotional revolt among the Cretans, the lust revolt, category two. Six, another system of lies originates from pseudo-love. And so we have a category three emotional revolt, pseudo-love among the brethren. It doesn't make any difference what you believe, just so you love each other. All right, do we have a doctor? Oh, yes, we do. We have one from Arkansas over here. Doc, go back there, will you, where Dave is, if you please. All right. All three categories of emotional revolt are found in the first half of this hexameter verse. Point seven, another system of lies is part of the angelic conflict in which false doctrine is accepted as truth. So the first half of this hexameter line warns of apostasy under the angelic conflict. And eight, a nation of liars cannot enjoy stability in life, cannot enjoy the establishment. They can't enjoy their freedom. Liars do not enjoy freedom. Liars cannot enjoy right man, right woman relationship, which is part of the establishment. Liars cannot enjoy home life. Liars cannot enjoy national life. Liars cannot have prosperity under the divine laws of establishment. You cannot build a nation on a lie. You cannot build family life on lies. You cannot build a love relationship between a man and a woman on lies. You cannot build freedom on lies. You cannot have the function of the local church on lies. That's the problem in Crete. Now for the last half of the verse, the hexameter line. Evil beasts, slow bellies, Kakia, Theria, Gasteres, Argai. Evil beasts, we've already taken it up. It's Kaka Theria. I'll put it on the board again. K-A-K-A. T-H-E-R-I-A. Kaka Theria. This phrase indicates that since the entire national structure of the Cretans is built upon lies, they have lost the function of the right lobe. They have lost the function of their norms and standards or their conscience. The right lobe has memory center, norms and standards, and viewpoint. As liars, they have canceled out their norms and standards. They are a people without a conscience. And therefore, a people without a conscience disintegrate. They fornicate. They go in for drugs. They become alcoholics. They become a people gone mad. They become animals, just as we have in the United States today. They grow hair long like animals. They have, men have female souls and turn hippie. There is no authority. There is no respect for law and order. There is opposition to military, to law, to everything that stands for norm and standard. People simply fall apart. They turn into animals. Every time you see a hippie, you're looking at an animal. They look like animals. They smell like animals. They act like animals, and they live like animals. Communal living is animal living. And every norm and standard is violated. Every hippie group you see in this country is a cancer destroying the people of this country. Authority is destroyed. Any man that lets his hair grow long is saying, I am a woman. A man has short hair. The Bible says so in 1 Corinthians 11. Why? Because he is the authority over the woman. A woman's long hair is her glory, but doth not nature teach you that a man has short hair? Jesus Christ had short hair. And everywhere you turn, it's the same old story. Lack of authority. Animals. Now, the final two dipities, slow bellies. Gosteris argi. G-A-S-T-E-R-E-S, argi. Gosteris doesn't mean stomach. It's translated bellies. It's the nominative plural of the noun goster. Here is the vocabulary form. G-A-S-T-E-R, goster. And gosteris is simply the nominative plural of goster. But it doesn't mean bellies. It means gluttons. It means those who serve their stomachs. And with it we have the word argi, which is also nominative plural of argos. And argos means, A-R-G-O-S, idle. Idle gluttons, literally. And an idle glutton is a person who lacks self-discipline. A person who lives by his emotions. A person who lives for pleasure and lives by instinct. A person who has no sense of responsibility, no norms or standards, no divine viewpoint, lack of self-discipline. This is a people of no self-discipline. Now, self-discipline is the key to capacity for life. It's the key to happiness. It's the key to everything. So idle gluttons is an idiom for no self-discipline. And idle gluttons summarizes, again, emotional revolt of the soul. Now, up to now, Paul is merely quoting one of the heroes of Crete. And this hero of Crete calls these Cretans all of these terrible things in one of the most famous and often quoted lines of hexameter verse. Epimenides is a national hero. And this national hero has criticized his own people. Question, Don?
Would you please spell
his name? Yes. I'll be glad to. Epimenides. It's M-E-N-I-E-D-E-S. Now, this E is silent, and sometimes it is spelled this way. When you bring it into English, they usually leave that E out. So this is good enough. Epimenides. Now, verse 13. This witness, literally this testimony, is true. What Epimenides said about his own people is true. Now, Paul is writing around 64, 65, 67 A.D., somewhere in there, just for, let's say, roughly. Paul wrote this in 67 A.D. Do you know when Epimenides wrote it? He wrote it 600 years before. And that's why the Cretan nation was always a degenerate nation. This witness is true. Now the word wherefore. The word wherefore is literally dia plus the accusative. And dia plus the accusative should be translated because of this. Because of this. Because that this is true, because of emotional revolt, categories 1, 2, and 3, because of national degeneration among the people in general, you, Titus, do something to the believers. The believers are involved in this too. Rebuke them sharply. Now the word rebuke is allegko. Again, it's the same verb. It means hit them with a board right between the eyes. E-L-E-G-C-H-O. Clobber them. Means to discipline them, refute them. Now he adds one word that he didn't add before, sharply. This is an adverb, apotomos. A-P-O-T-O-M-O-S. And apotomos means severely. And it's stronger than that. It means in a rude manner. Titus is a pastor. He is commanded to be rude to the crude. I want to tell you something of the principle here. When you find people who are insubordinate and rebellious against authority, they're not going to be impressed by being nice to them. You've heard that old stuff. Love them to death. Show them Christian love. No. There's a type you can show Christian love, and there's a type you have to slug them. I have seen people that Christian love, they think you're weak. That's the whole attitude of the National Council of Churches toward communism. Those who are not communists themselves think, well, let's show them, let's lead the way in Christian love. The only thing the communist understands is to be slugged. And the only thing that the people in Vietnam will understand is to be dead. And if there are 5 or 6 left and 100,000 dead bodies around them, they're going to catch on. Now you listen carefully. There's only one way to stop a bully. I remember when I was a little boy and I was small and everyone else and I was bullied. Hit them with something. There's only one way you stop communism. That's kill communists. I don't care whether they're Russian. That means they're only half Mongolian. Or Chinese, all Mongolian. They're all a bunch of Mongols. And they are our enemies. And the only thing that impresses them is to kill them. You want to get a peace treaty signed in Paris? Kill 100,000 people in North Vietnam. That's the way to do it. 50,000 Americans have died, and up to now for nothing. But those deaths of our great young Americans could be very meaningful. Because overnight we could bomb North Vietnam out of existence. And if the Chinese communists don't like it, say, you're next. Now, there's something a lot of you ladies will never understand. And some of you men grew up apparently under the most mystical, esoteric conditions. I can look at some of you and tell you never had to fight for anything. There are some people, the only thing they understand is when you get tough. There was a conspiracy in Baraka Church, a full-blown, power-grabbing conspiracy. And I loved them to death. And they cut my throat cheerfully. So when I got tough, they left. You can't be nice to everyone. You remember that. What you say, but what about loving the brethren? Loving the brethren means no mental attitude sins. You don't hate them. You're not bitter. You're not jealous. You're not vindictive. But you put this in your notes and you'll have a happy fourth. You can't be nice to everyone. Some people take being nice as a sign of weakness. You have to get tough at some point. Some girl came to me not long ago and complained about some guy making a pass at her. You know why? She was exercising Christian love. And I had to explain to her, you can't be nice to everyone. You know what I told her to do? And I'll tell you exactly what I said. The next time he does that, you slap the hell out of him. Now, that's good Christian advice from a pastor. It's amazing to me how stupid some people are. It's amazing to me how stupid we are in this country. We have gone right off our rocker. And we have a whole generation of people now that cannot understand anything of that sort. But a lot of people are picking up doctrine. One lady in this church, a very fine lady, put a bumper sticker on her car. You know the peace symbol? The footprint of the American chicken. So a couple of hippies drove up and wedged her in when she was at the grocery store. One on each side. And she came out, and they were standing there. Now, here she is. She's a lady. These are these long-haired cowards. And they said, you take that sticker off your bumper. We're not going to let you out till you do. And she got in her car and put it in reverse and backed up. Boom! And by the time she bumped both those cars a couple times, they let her out happily. Why? Now, a lot of you'd say, what you should have done was to love them to death. No, if I'd have been there, I'd have punched them. I have the right to put any sticker I want to in my car. I'm an American citizen, and I have the freedom of my opinion and the right to express it. And they do not have the right to stop me. Love them to death. Well, there are some people that have to be handled differently. Because of this, discipline them in a rude manner that some of them will straighten out. They may be sound in the faith. Every now and then, people can be straightened out in this way. Now, here again is a passage that ties right in with the 4th of July weekend in the year of our Lord, 1971. We live in critical times. We live in disastrous times. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh, so he is. The way people are thinking in this country is strictly human viewpoint. And human viewpoint thinking is destroying this nation. And whether we survive or not depends upon you and the verse with which we had started, your attitude toward Bible doctrine. Keep on embracing Bible doctrine. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of studying these things. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.